evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, February 19, 2020. South Sudan's Council of Ministers approved the return to 10 states.
It was passed by the cabinet and directed the Minister of Justice to prepare it and table it before the cabinet probably this afternoon so that it is adopted by the cabinet because there is no room for further extension.
And two senior South Sudanese immigration officers are arrested in Uganda for allegedly smuggling wildlife.
We think this is a significant step towards the formation of an inclusive Artigonu and also towards the peace that is so urgently needed and deserved by the people of this country.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudan's Council of Ministers adopted President Salva Kiir's decision to return the country back to 10 states with additional 3 administrative areas ahead of Saturday's deadline for the formation of a unity government. Viola Elias reports for VOA from Juba.
Government spokesperson Michael Makwe says following the meeting, the ministers directed Justice Minister Paulino Wanawila to amend the provisions of the revitalized peace deal and to incorporate the 10 states plus 3 administrative areas into the transitional constitution.
After being discussed, it was passed by the cabinet and directed the Minister of Justice to prepare it and table it before the cabinet probably this afternoon so that it is adopted by the cabinet because there is no room for further extension, but there is room for the establishment of the revitalized Artigonu.
Makwe says after the cabinet has amended the constitution, President Kiir will sign it into law on Friday. The SPLM-IO deputy spokesperson, Manoa Peter Gatkoth, says with the new 10 states plus 3 decision by the president, the SPLM-IO is not opposed to forming the unity government by the deadline, but says the SPLM-IO wants to see that all provisions of the deal, including security arrangement, are completely implemented.
At least 90% of the outstanding issues, at least we handle them, like position of 10 states, which has been taken by the president, and we welcome it. And also we put our some observation, especially about Ruweng. These issues should be on the table. They can discuss it. They can reach agreement on it. It will not prevent that people should form the government in next week.
Makwe says, although some activities scheduled to be implemented in the pre-transitional period have yet to be completed, the unity government will be formed.
There are for the VIP protection force, it is here, it is ready in Gorom, and can be graduated even tomorrow or next month. There is no, and they will be deployed. There are VIP protection units, and they will be here in Juba to protect the VIPs. That is one. Number two, the unified forces. That are there. Some of them are graduated, others are not yet. Are trained, others are not yet. But they will be trained. So we cannot wait and hold the establishment of the government hostage for some provisions of the agreement which are not yet established.
Makwe says establishment of the government will not be held hostage for, in his words, some provision of the agreement which is not yet established. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
Still in Juba, the European Union delegation to South Sudan have welcomed President Kiir's decision to return the country to 10 states plus 3 administrative areas. In a joint statement, the Western diplomats say it is a big step towards the formation of a unity government. Lasuba Memo reports for VOA from Juba.
The diplomats say Kiir's decision to revert to 10 states last Saturday was extremely important. Sinead Walsh is head of EU delegation to South Sudan.
We think this is a significant step towards the formation of an inclusive Artigonu and also towards the peace that is so urgently needed and deserved by the people of this country.
The diplomats say the decision moves the parties closer to a unity government. Challenges such as completing the pre-transitional security arrangements and creating new administrative areas remain.
There still is a gap in terms of the public and indeed the rest of us in the international community being informed about what the plans are and when exactly we should foresee you know the formation of the government. I guess the parties are still discussing and agreeing amongst themselves, including maybe on some outstanding issues. We hope the parties are discussing quickly and constructively on any other issues that may be required.
Ambassador Walsh says the parties can address the remaining obstacles quickly if they work together. Walsh says the EU and its allies want to see a transitional unity government that is active and ready to carry out necessary reforms in all the sectors stipulated in the peace agreement.
We haven't been able to do that, yet. So we really look forward to doing that with the new government, assuming, of course, which we very much hope, that the new government will be very active on the kind of reforms that are in the peace agreement in Chapter 4 of the peace agreement, for example, the sort of economic reforms. I think these are areas where, you know, in the European Union, we're very keen to help with these reforms and also to, you know, to be investing more in the country once there is progress on these.
The parties are expected to form a unity government this Saturday, while President Kiir and opposition leader Riek Machar continues to discuss outstanding issues in Juba. For VOA News, I am Lasuba Memo in Juba.
And on some diplomatic development, South Sudan's Minister of Foreign Affairs has recalled 43 diplomats from its embassies worldwide. In a circular dated February 18, Ambassador Riek Pok Riek directed all deputy ambassadors, diplomats, and administrative attachés at South Sudan embassies to report back to Juba by May 31st. The secular father states the recall diplomats have overstayed their deployment posts and are required to return to the headquarters of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Juba. Gordon Boy, deputy ambassador at the South Sudan's embassy in Washington, is among the diplomats being asked to return home. Ugandan police are holding two South Sudanese immigration officers suspected of trafficking wildlife. A Ugandan police detective says the two men were arrested yesterday at Ilegu border crossing point in Uganda while trying to smuggle a pangolin into Uganda. Mungume Debs Rakarinj has more for VOA from Kampala.
Ugandan police detective Alfred Almansi of the Elegu police post in Uganda identified the two as Lieutenant John Malau Mayen John, who works as an immigration officer at the Nimule border crossing in South Sudan's immigration office, and First Lieutenant Arop Ochan Dennis Lotiang, a South Sudan defense soldier. Almansi says the two men were arrested yesterday morning while traveling in a vehicle with South Sudan number plates.
During our checking in their car, we recovered a pangolin animal well covered in a wet covera in one seat in their car. Immediately, our officer who was commanding that checkpoint arrested them and they were detained in our illegal police station.
The two were charged with illegal possession of protected wildlife. Ugandan police were tipped off by the informants that wildlife traffickers were trying to sell the pangolin for 15 million Uganda shillings, about $4,100. Aluman says modern tracking equipment helps border agents nab traffickers.
Currently, we have a scanner at our border, one spot border here, a scanner of URA, which is helping us to scan everything. So they think if they come with the officers, we shall not check the car. But for us here in our border, Elegu border, every car, every individual entering the country from Southern Sudan or going, we check every individual.
Aluman says police are investigating whether Ugandans were involved in the crime. The Nimule Elegu border crossing is the main entry point for people traveling to and from Uganda and South Sudan. It is also the main route for South Sudanese imports. Ugandan wildlife activist Sharon Okello praised police for the arrests.
Such arrests of people of power, when people see such people get arrested and answer for their crimes, it sends a clear message out there that whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you're engaging in, as long as it is wildlife crime, you will be answerable.
South Sudan military spokesperson Lul Wai Kong was not available for comment as his phones were switched off. Brigadier General Justin Daniel, spokesman of the South Sudan National Police Service, Todd South Sudan in Focus is not aware of the arrests, but says laws prohibit members of the organized forces from engaging in wildlife trafficking.
We have our wildlife people to monitor the border. We're going to fight this smuggling of animals or animal products. So all our border points, we have people from wildlife force to monitor the situation in terms of to fight the smuggling of these products. Yeah.
The arrested officers are expected to be arraigned in Uganda later this week. For VOA News, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakadinj in Kampala, Uganda.
The Human Rights Watch is appealing to South Sudan's National Assembly to reform the country's National Security Service Act. The rights group says it has documented cases of arbitrary arrests, torture, and enforced disappearance by the NSS agents in what it calls, quote, brazen disregard for basic rights. Ayen Deng Bior has more for VOA from Washington.
South Sudan is due to form a new government in a few days. But before it does that, Johan Henry, Associate Africa Director at Human Rights Watch, says the country's lawmakers should focus on reforming the National Security Service to eliminate arbitrary detentions and abuse of detainees.
What we've documented and what we observe is that the National Security Agency in South Sudan really functions above the law. There are no checks and balances because it is controlled at the executive, at the highest levels, and there has been no effort to rein it in and to stop the agents from arresting and detaining people and abusing them.
Henry is calling on the highest levels of government, including President Salva Kiir, to send a clear message that the allegations of abuse of power will be taken seriously. But she says the National Assembly could also play a crucial role.
We'd like to see South Sudan's legislature exercise its powers of oversight. It ought to have oversight over the security agency, and it does have summonsing powers, and it does have the right to investigate allegations of abuses.
The UN panel of experts on South Sudan raised concerns about the National Security Service in a report last year, according to the Associated Press. The panel said the NSS, quote, posed a significant threat, end quote, and that the agency operates outside the law. HRW calls the need for reforms urgent.
We've seen the National Security play different roles. We know that it is a very large agency. We know that it does carry out surveillance, including phone tapping and other forms of surveillance, both physical and digital. And we know that it arrests and detains people. It is a detaining authority, and that people have been subjected to torture under national security custody.
A spokesman for the National Security Service could not be immediately reached for comment. Ayen Deng Bior, VOA News, Washington.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Central Equatoria State County officials say hundreds of people are in dire need of humanitarian aid in Torre County. We'll bring details of that story next.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. question today.
What's the best lesson you've ever learned from a child?
Don't mind with what other people are saying about your mistakes, laughing at you when you make error. If you don't mind about them, just the way a child doesn't mind about you laughing at him because he make a mistake.
Always tell the truth. He doesn't lie at all. Even if he's not telling the truth, if you ask him, please tell me truth, he will come back and tell you the truth. Most of the time he's curious. He wanted to see what is this.
They forget quickly, then if you try to bring him or her back, then they respond positive. They don't stick like older people, how they react. We should learn to forgive.
They're always genuine with their interactions or questions, yeah. I mean, there is a child and there's an adult, and always we adults are like consumed with a lot of problems.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Local officials from Central Equatoria State say hundreds of people displaced from their homes by recent fighting in Yei River County between rebels and government forces are in dire need of humanitarian assistance. Daniel Friday Martin has more for VOA from Yei Town.
Late last month, NAS rebels and SSPDF soldiers traded accusations over who started an attack in Rasuolu village, which forced thousands of residents to flee. Some ran to the bush while others fled to the neighboring Democratic Republic of Congo for safety. John Dosman, executive chief of Wele Burma, says the IDPs, most of whom are women and children, are surviving on wild fruits. Speaking in simple Arabic, Dosman says displaced villagers from Tore area are camping under trees in Angebi Payam and are in desperate need of food and emergency supplies.
All our food items, cooking utensils, clothes and blankets had been burned down and the situation is very bad. We don't have food, medicine and clean drinking water. Children, women, and the elderly are really suffering.
Dosman says, although civilians in other parts of the country are peaceful, residents in his home still experience numerous abuses committed by armed forces. Obed Taban, acting head of the Relief and Rehabilitation Commission of what was Yei River State, says his commission does not have emergency relief supplies to meet the needs of the IDPs in the area. Taban is appealing to humanitarian organizations to intervene.
We have number of displaced people, 783 population in Tore. We are appealing to the humanitarians to respond with food, non-food items and shelter. We have a lot of food stocked in the World Food Programme stores in Yei here. They have kept the food rotting in the stores. We have 41 tons for IDPs. If the World Food Programme can send a representative so that they see the emergencies, other than keeping food like that, than giving to people who are in need.
The communications officers from the World Food Program in Yei River County did not answer our calls. Martin Molai, commissioner for the now defunct Tore County, says authorities are finding it difficult to provide emergency food and non-food items to the IDPs from Rasuolu.
They don't have shelter, cooking utensils and food. So we have deployed security forces in Angebi to offer them protection so that they will not be displaced from the place where they are now.
Mohamed Sion, the head of UN OCHA in Yei, says efforts are in place to mobilize partners to respond on the needs of the IDPs in the area.
Our responsibility is to make sure that if there are IDPs somewhere, we will try to find their needs and provide support, and when security permits, we will mobilize partners and conduct a rapid assessment on their needs and respond accordingly.
Molai is urging other humanitarian groups operating in the area to deliver emergency assistance to the IDPs. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin in Yei Town.
So Sudanese Prime Minister Abdallah Hamdok is reiterating the transitional government's commitment to hand over ousted President Omar al-Bashir to the International Criminal Court. Hamdok says families of Sudanese victims have waited for this moment for a long time. For VOA News, Michael Atit has more from Khartoum.
Prime Minister Hamdok says the Sudanese transitional government wants to see that all of the themes of the Sudanese revolution, including peace and justice, put into practice. Speaking to the German DWTV in Berlin over the weekend, Hamdok said all individuals who are found guilty of committing any atrocities in Sudan shall face justice.
It could be an ICC in The Hague, could be an ICC-compliant court that is in Sudan or in the region. Justice need to be served to the maximum satisfaction of the victim. This something was well articulated in the constitutional transitional period document. We will definitely uphold that.
Last week, transitional government officials said in Juba they were ready to cooperate with the ICC, including turning over Bashir and three of his former senior officials to Hague. The men are accused of committing war crimes, genocide, and crimes against humanity. Hamdok says the Sudan government is reforming law institutions to meet the compensation requirements of the transitional justice as well as the issues of truth and reconciliation for the victims of crimes.
Any person who committed atrocities, criminal, financial, we will have to be tried. And that is our bottom line. We are working on rebuilding our judiciary system and all that, and we hope to have a credible, independent judicial system.
Last week, Hamdok requested that the United Nations Security Council establish a special political mission under Chapter 6 of the UN Charter to support the peace efforts in the country. That proposal was met with a storm of criticism from some Sudanese, including members of the previous regime. Hamdok says the intent of the proposal was to give an opportunity for victims to receive justice after decades of suffering.
What we are calling for is to move the UN from Chapter 7 to Chapter 6, which would allow us to express our wish. And if you could call it anywhere, dictate on the UN on our priorities, this is where we would like to create an opportunity where we tell the UN, this is what we want.
Hamdok says the presence of the UN political mission under Chapter 6 would help provide technical support in the nation-building process.
We would like to embark on a process that will conclude this transitional period with an election. The UN has accumulated experiences, technical and otherwise, across the globe. Support on addressing issues of election systems. An election system that will provide us with an opportunity to represent all our people.
Chapter 6 of the UN Charter stipulates that international support should assist in maintenance, monitoring and building of peace, but should not employ the use of force to prevent conflict. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
From the Sudanese capital, we go to Kenya, where four people were killed when suspected Al-Shabaab militants attacked a bus in northeast part of the country. A Kenyan security official confirmed the incident. The Somali militant groups have carried out numerous deadly attacks on buses and vehicles in the area as retaliation for Kenya's military presence in Somalia. Rahel Ombur reports from Nairobi.
The bus was carrying passengers from Mandera County to Nairobi when it was attacked. The bus is said to have left Mandera in the morning, and the attack happened at about midday, according to Onesmus Kiatha, Mandera's county commissioner.
A bus that was destined to Nairobi via Moyale was attacked between a place called Hola and Saraman, which is in Mandera North constituency. That is Mandera North sub-county. And we understand the criminals. These are armed bandits, suspected criminals who sprayed the bus with bullets. And in the process, we understand three passengers lost their lives.
Mandera is bordered by Ethiopia to the north and Somalia to the east. Kenya sent troops to Somalia in 2011 to fight Al-Shabaab alongside the African Union mission in Somalia with forces from at least six African countries. In retaliation, Al-Shabaab militants have launched countless terror attacks in northeastern Kenya, along the Kenyan coast, and even in Nairobi, in a bid to pressure Kenya to withdraw its troops from Somalia. Kenya security forces have heightened security in terror-prone areas, but this has not stopped the attacks. Last month, Al-Shabaab attacked a joint U.S.-Kenya base in Lamu County, killing three American military personnel. Around Mandera, Al-Shabaab fighters have launched several fatal attacks. In July 2015, at least 14 people were killed and several others wounded in a gun attack near a military camp. The victims were workers from a local quarry in the area. Onesma says a quick response by security personnel has saved lives before, as was the case in today's attack.
The police were able to move in fast from their nearby police units, which are also based in around those areas. So they were able to move very fast to the ground and to ensure that they secured the rest of the passengers. That is what I can confirm. The bus had about 35 passengers, which left Mandera in the morning.
Al-Shabaab's deadliest attack in Kenya came in April 2015 when gunmen stormed Garissa University and killed 148 people, most of them Kenyan students. Rai Lombor for VOA News, Nairobi.
That's our show for this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song Pitié, je veux la réconciliation by Bapol Masyamina. This song was requested by Tony Christo, an avid VOA listener in Juba. Just to let you know that when our listeners request their favorite songs, I have no choice but to obey. Listening to Bapol Masyamina with the song Pitié, je veux la réconciliation, which means Pitié, I want reconciliation. I'm John Tanza in Washington. It's indeed time for reconciliation. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Pitié, 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 p
pitié, pitié, pitié.